song of unity. Debbie and Candy back up. Good morning. Volume on mic 3 and mics 3 and 1. Praise the Lord. We have one more song before we will bid you a wonderful morning and a good afternoon and a great day. Once again, would you please put your hands together for Mr. Dan Chouinard on piano. He's our orchestra. And Miss Debbie Duncan on vocals. Miss Candy Matthews on vocals. My name is Gwen Matthews and we are called Back to You. Hope you have a great day. Now everybody put your hands together. Could you turn the piano up? Hey! or you can shake your eggs or whatever you got out there. I like those eggs.
Blessing. I'd like to introduce Pam Carter-Jorn, our playwright.
Amen. Thank you. I found out last Friday that in England they have theater chaplain, which I thought was a very good idea, because if you know the creative process, you know that it lays your soul pretty bare, and people sometimes need help processing what's happening to them. So before Friday night's performance, I asked the director, who is from England, well, does this theater chaplain pray? And she said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, they do. So I shared our Sophia blessing with the cast and the director of the play Simple Gifts. Then last night, during the production, the props room was broken into and robbed. And the actors lost many personal items, car keys, house keys, clothing. And I went home wondering, where is God in this? And then this morning you have given so generously from your own hearts and your purses to help defray their cost. I've just been handed a note that says over $1,400. So I thank you. And I will be very happy to share this blessing with the cast also. Thank you.
Gathered around table, and we were trying to figure out the story to tell to introduce Chris. During the conversation, Chris and I had a conversation about the sermon that she was going to give. I had said that the title of the sermon, and I had transposed the first two words, resulting in the question, is it possible? Well, as you can see, with Chris at my side, and Chris was quick to respond and make the proclamation, it is possible. Now, this short conversation reveals much about Chris, for she lives the question. She struggles with the question, and she stays with the question long enough to transform it into a proclamation. By doing so, Chris lives out her vocation as preacher on a day-to-day basis. We are truly gifted to have her here today to preach and proclaim with us.
Thank you.
seated at this time.
Lift these prayers for the world. Will you please offer prayers at your table now, aloud or silently? Thank you. Hallelujah. You've heard our supplication. Those vocals, even those that are deep within the crevices of our hearts. We ask now that you take all of our prayers, bring them together with your wisdom and your power and your anointing. Bind us together this day, helping us to realize that yes, we are different, but we are not so different. Unite us. Empower us to name the differences and celebrate in our unity in you. We pray this prayer in the unity of oneness. For the reading of the gospel. Our gospel reading this morning is from the gospel of Matthew chapter 15. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and shouted, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged Jesus, saying,
"Send her away, for she is shouting after us."
Jesus answered,
"I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
But she came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "O Lord, help me." And Jesus answered her,
"But it's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs."
But she responded to Jesus,
"Yes, my Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their owner's table."
Then Jesus answered her,
"O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire."
And her daughter was healed instantly. In Isaiah 55, the prophet proclaims for us,
"Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters.
Anyone who has money, come buy and eat.
Come buy wine and milk without money and without price."
You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It is not on? I'm sorry? Louder, please. I want to make a statement before I preach. So here are the opening words of this statement, and then the sermon will follow. We come to this moment carrying many things: joys, struggles, exhaustion, challenge, silence, anger, exhilaration. We also come hoping for the future, for future days and future events that will move our struggle along, for times in the future when we will hear more fully and understand the stories, the theological insights, the life experiences of women with disabilities, for a time to hear more about the worldview, the sacred symbols, the traditions of Native American women, for a time to hear more and more white women speak about the structures, the tyranny, the terrain of white supremacy and white racism, for times when our older sisters will speak about their experience of ageism and all its marginalization. More from African American women, more from Asian women, more from Hispanic, Latino women, more from lesbian women, from silenced women, more, more, more. We need more. And there will be a day, there will be more. Now, a personal note, and then I'll begin. In 1987, I stood in a conference of gathered United Methodist clergywomen on a platform not unlike this one. I was one of five voices that read several anonymous statements written by lesbian clergywomen in attendance at the conference and their feelings of being silenced, oppressed, afraid. I read those statements anonymously as well. This day, I stand before you having come a very, very long way since then. This day, I share this sermon with you as a United Church of Christ pastor and as a lesbian clergywoman. I wish I could stand before you this day and tell you how inspiring I think this story of the Canaanite woman is. Her strong presence, her persistent faith, her shameless audacity. I'd like to be able to feel the full weight of joy as I experience this ancient story retold, celebrating her daughter's healing, smugly as a woman rejoicing in the truth that this woman seems to expand Jesus' ministry, his self-understanding and worldview as none other seems to. Completely and thoroughly awed by the clarity of her mission. But as much as I can appreciate and celebrate this woman, I cannot celebrate this story. It's too filled with inequity, with dismissal, with demeaning power, with dehumanization for me to be able to feel any real comfort or ease with it. It's so much easier to speak about her bold voice than to sense the silent rejection of both Jesus and the disciples. It is so much more comforting to recognize her quick and persuasive insight than to feel this woman's kneeling. It is so much more uplifting and empowering to respect the faith of this woman to bring about the healing of her own daughter than to acknowledge that this woman ultimately had to beg. I've always found this story angering and offensive. The silencing of women's voices is oppressive. The dismissing of women's lived experience is dehumanizing. Forcing women to beg for the resources, power, healing, care they need in order to sustain life for themselves and their children is always an act of violence. Perhaps some of us, not all of us, some of us, spiritualize the Canaanite woman's interaction with Jesus because it is less terrifying for us to encounter this narrative as one of faith and hope than to face this woman's story as one of violence and survival. Great is her faith, and great the oppression. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. I fear that this woman is like so many women throughout ages, a courageous survivor, a powerful moral agent who is determined to find water, wine, and milk, and does, yet with great cost and at a very high price. The commentators idealize her, saying she shocks, shames, and charms us to imitate her bold and persistent faith. Maybe this woman doesn't want to shock or charm or shame anyone. Perhaps this woman simply wants access to those things that make for fullness of life. Perhaps she wants the marginalization of her daughter to stop. Perhaps she wants her ethnicity to be respected and honored. Perhaps she wants men to treat her with full human regard. I've often wondered, and I invite us all to wonder, what this woman might have been saying to her friends as she leaves this scene, having shouted for help and initially been totally ignored, having knelt down on her knees before this powerful man, and having spoken the words, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Crumbs are a far cry from abundant water, wine, and milk without price. Last May, I was in Guatemala with two of my colleagues from United Seminary. We were sitting in a small open-air restaurant one evening in Chichicastenango, reflecting on our day. It was dusk. People were putting away the last visible signs of the market. While we were keenly absorbed in our conversation, a small boy, maybe 6 or 7, came up to me and started tugging at my shirt sleeve, asking me for money. I ignored him for a while, and then finally I said in my blunt and unpolished Spanish, "No es posible," it is not possible. He kept tugging, and I repeated at least twice more, "No es posible, no es posible." And then I looked him in the eye, and he engaged me squarely back, and he simply said, "Es posible." It is possible. I was totally undone. I reached in my pocket, gave him some money. He was quickly on his way. Change from the pockets of the rich must feel like crumbs. It is surely not water, wine, milk at no price. There's something frighteningly similar about these two stories. If we want to be casually inspired by them, we will speak about the faith of this bold Canaanite woman and the persistence of this small Guatemalan child. If we want to be changed by them, we will speak about the poverty, the racism, the power, the need, the oppression that forces most of the people of our globe to beg for food, for human dignity, for equal honoring, for life.